The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My friend had grown up in a loving Christian family and had always felt close to his parents. Now he was an adult, married to a wonderful wife with two wonderful children of his own, a loving family just like his loving childhood family when he was growing up. But he was now confronting a heartbreaking reality. The relationship he had with his mother had died. He had not spoken to her in over a year. The gulf between them had simply become unbridgeable. It wasn't just one event, some monumental falling out. It had happened gradually over time. Hurtful things said, disagreements over politics or how he and his wife are raising their children and handling their affairs. There was a gradual drifting apart, a disaffection, until finally the hurtfulness was too much. And out of a need to protect himself and his family from that hurt, all communication ended. And there had been a parting of ways. The relationship had died. And then it happened. The massive heart attack. His mother was rushed to the hospital and emergency surgery was performed on her. But there were serious complications and it looked like she wasn't going to make it. She was in a coma for weeks, in intensive care for over a month, in the hospital for another several months. But then gradually, remarkably, her body began to heal. It was a slow process, and the recovery of her cognitive functions was even slower. But now, a year after the heart attack, she had completely recovered. Her doctors were amazed. They said it was a miracle that she had survived. But my friend knew that the miracle of her physical recovery was nothing compared to the miracle of the restoration of his relationship with his mother that had come through that year when he almost lost her. His relationship with her had died and had been buried, and he had had no hope that it could ever be restored. But now the relationship was alive again. loving relationship, totally unexpected, was restored. In fact, it was a stronger, deeper, more loving relationship than he and his mother had ever had. He could only describe it as resurrection, new life from death. My friends, I believe that our understanding of resurrection tends to be, sadly, limited. We tend to think of it only as something that happened in the past. Easter is all about what happened to Jesus of Nazareth 2,000 years ago. He died and rose from the dead. And since he has conquered death, that means that when we die in the future, we will live again in heaven. But what about the present? What does Easter mean for us here and now? In the typical understanding of Easter, it seems the only effect that Jesus' resurrection has on our present lives is to make us grateful for Jesus and to give us the blessed assurance that we will have eternal life when we die. And yet, in Eastertide, we do not begin our services by proclaiming, "Alleluia, Christ was risen." But rather, "Alleluia, Christ is risen." Here and now. In our opening hymn today, we sang, "Christ is alive, no longer bound to distant years in Palestine, but saving, healing, here and now, and touching every place and time." The divine power of resurrection is meant to transform us here and now, to release us from whatever deadly habits or thought patterns or mindsets have been keeping us bound, sapped of divine life, leaving us spiritually dry and relationally divided. In today's gospel, Luke clearly wants us to understand that the risen Christ who appears to the disciples is actually present in this world of flesh. He is not a ghost. Ghosts, writes John Shea, are the disembodied presence of people who have died and are still considered dead. The early Christians who experienced the risen Christ unambiguously asserted that he was not dead, but alive. Not disembodied, but still able to partake of food with his disciples. He did not exist only in some otherworldly dimension, but in our own dimension and time. The risen Christ still shares our human life today. Christ is risen in Canyon City and Christchurch, enabling new resurrected life in and among you and me, here and now. St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." Death and resurrection. And again, Paul writes to the Philippians, "I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead." And my friends, that's what the risen Christ wants for us, to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead, bringing forth new resurrected life in and among us. My friend, whose story I told at the beginning of the sermon, knows that power which raised Jesus from death to life. For my friend's relationship with his mother had died, And like Jesus' disciples, he never expected something that had died to come to life again. None of us ever does. I know that my friend would never have wished his experience on anyone. Nobody enjoys experiencing death of any kind. Death of a relationship, death of a loved one, death of our ego, death of our old habits and customs, death of the way we have always done things. But at times in our lives, things need to be allowed to die. Because without death, there can be no resurrection. As Jesus said in our gospel reading 4 weeks ago, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains but a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Dying to some part of our personal or communal life, letting go of something that we have held for a long time, or which we now need to release, can be hard. And quite often, it's not something we want or choose to let go of. Such was the case with my friend. He would never have wished for the death of his relationship with his mother, would never have wished for his mother to have a heart attack and nearly die, would never have wanted her to suffer so, or the family to suffer so. But he is now grateful for it all. Because what arose out of all that tragedy and pain and death of a relationship and the suffering and near death of his mother was a stronger relationship with his mother than he had ever had. A resurrected relationship. He told me, "Mark, God never wastes anything." Resurrection is in the very DNA of the universe. Certain stars, when they die, explode into supernovas, ejecting energy and matter, newly created elements out into the cosmos. Billions of years ago, matter ejected from some exploding stars coalesced into this planet that we live on. And some of that matter from our planet eventually formed each of our own bodies. In a real sense, we are made of stardust. Newly created elements ejected from stars that died long, long ago. The very cells of our bodies are constantly dying and being replaced by new cells. Our bodies produce more than 10 million new cells every second as we rebuild our tissues, replacing what has died. Death and resurrection repeated again and again and again in us. Richard Rohr writes, "The universal spiritual pattern is death and resurrection, or loss and renewal, if you prefer. That is always a disappointment to humans, because we want one without the other. Transformation without cost or surrender or letting go. We ordinarily learn to submit and surrender to this scary pattern only when reality demands it of us. But we Christians are helped by the fact that Jesus literally submitted to this universal spiritual pattern of death and resurrection. And Jesus is our guide, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, as the letter to the Hebrews puts it. And here's the thing, my friends. We don't have to wait for this process of death and resurrection, this universal spiritual pattern. Father Rohr writes, We can begin resurrection today by living connected to God. Resurrection happens every time we love someone, even though they were not very loving to us. At that moment, we have been brought to new life. Every time we decide to trust and begin again, even after repeated failures, at that moment, we've been resurrected. Every time we refuse to become negative, cynical, hopeless, we have experienced the risen Christ. We don't have to wait for it later. Resurrection is now, and now, and now.